Important to not send scandal-ridden, corrupt Andrew Cuomo to City Hall.
New Yorkers deserve so much better than a disgraced creep.
Agreed.
Zoran, you've done a remarkable job building a historic grassroots campaign for a New York City all New Yorkers can afford.
Brad, you've been a principled progressive leader in our city for years.
Early voting starts tomorrow, and we both know what we need to do to save our city from Andrew Cuomo.
You want to tell him?
You go first.
Nah, you go first.
Let's do it together. We're cross-endorsing.
In New York City, we have ranked choice voting. That means you can rank up to 5 candidates for mayor.
Brad and I are officially telling our supporters.
Rank me number one.
Rank Zoran number two.
Let's send Andrew Cuomo
back to the suburbs.
So there you have a very confusing ad. You're both running for mayor. Explain ranked choice voting and what this means.
Ranked choice voting, instead of just getting one candidate, you can rank your preferences up to 5. Here's my number one candidate, my number two candidate. So we're encouraging people, rank me number one, rank Zoran Mamdani number two. Don't rank Andrew Cuomo anywhere. And that way our votes would get combined, and whichever of us is ahead will face Andrew Cuomo with all of the combined votes. Most New Yorkers don't want him to be mayor, and ranked choice voting can help make sure that
in this last 20 seconds, New York for All Act, can you explain what it is, why you're supporting it?
New York City is a sanctuary city, but New York State needs to do more to protect immigrants, not to allow collaboration with ICE, and to provide more legal representation to people like Edgardo.
I want to thank you very much for being with us, Brad Lander, New York City Comptroller, Democratic mayoral candidate. ICE agents arrested him Tuesday for escorting a man out of his immigration hearing yesterday.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Join KBOO around the campfire. Become a member during Camp KBOO's Summer Drive, taking place now through June 29th. Your contribution goes toward grassroots community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
Support for KBOO comes from KBOO members and Grendel's Coffee Shop, located at East Burnside and 8th Avenue in Portland, featuring coffee, tea, sandwiches, and more. Information at grendelspdx.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on this summer membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, tomorrow is Juneteenth, a national holiday for the emancipation of enslaved people in the United States.
Senate Bill 110, the potential baseball stadium funding, has passed the House and await Governor Kotek's approval.
And in international news, Donald Trump is warned to not get involved with the Iran-Israel conflict.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, June 18, 2025. KBOO is currently in our summer membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by going online to kboo.fm/give. I'm Eric Leuschner.
And I'm Josh Salem. Oregon lawmakers have taken another swing at bringing Major League Baseball to Portland. Oregon Senate Bill 110 authorizes $800 million in bonds for a potential MLB stadium. The bill passed the House of Representatives 46-6 on June 17th and now awaits Governor Tina Kotek's signature. The bill garners significant bipartisan backing from both Democratic and Republican lawmakers. The proposed stadium, envisioned by the Portland Diamond Project, would be built on the 33-acre Zidell Yard site in Portland's South Waterfront. Designs include a retractable roof and 32,000 seats for year-round use. The estimated total cost for the stadium is $2 billion. The $800 million from the state would cover a portion, with the team responsible for funding the remaining $1.2 billion. The $800 million in bonds will be repaid over 30 years through a so-called jock tax. Monies generated by MLB players and staff, including both home and visiting teams, would contribute. Proponents emphasize that this funding mechanism explicitly avoids drawing from current state general revenue or imposing new taxes on Oregon residents. Critics question whether the projected income taxes from MLB players and staff would be sufficient to repay the $800 million in bonds over 30 years. This bill significantly increases the bond limit from previous legislation, Senate Bill 5 from 2003, which had set a cap of $150 million for a similar purpose. Despite the legislative success, there is no guarantee Portland will secure an MLB team. The city is competing with others, notably Salt Lake City, for one of two expansion franchises MLB plans to award by early 2029. Portland's pursuit of an MLB team has a history spanning over two decades, including discussions during the Montreal Expo's relocation in the early 2000s.
Opponents of large-scale factory farms are celebrating after an Oregon court blocked construction of a new industrial chicken farm. A group of local farmers say its members worked for 5 years on the issue. Isabelle Charlet has more.
After 5 years of legal battles, a group of Oregon farmers has won a lawsuit to prevent construction of a new factory farm in the Willamette Valley. The facility, which would have held 3.5 million chickens, was proposed by Foster Farms, one of the largest chicken producers on the West Coast. Citing threats to water and air quality, a group of local women formed Farmers Against Foster Farms. Co-founder Teresa Mitchell-Clausen, who says her then home was just 350 feet from the proposed site, warns corporate agriculture often breaks promises to small farmers.
They put everything on the line thinking they're doing the right thing, becoming a bigger, better farmer, contributing even more to the world, and then they realize, oh, they were just a pawn in the game.
The group's lawsuit claimed the facility should be classified as a new concentrated animal feeding operation, or CAFO, subjecting it to stricter water quality rules and location boundaries. In May, the facility's permit was ruled unlawful. An industrial chicken farm can produce 4,500 tons of poultry waste each year. Kendra Kimberauskas with the State Innovation Exchange says the facility's proposed location near the Santiam River raised concerns about the impact of waste there.
When these chicken operations came in, that was a huge threat to the local agriculture that was here already. And they were just basically going to put a straw in the ground and take as much water as they needed to water these chickens.
Community-driven campaigns to stop CAFOs like this one are happening across the country. Clausen says residents need to be the core of any opposition.
You don't have to be a politician to make a permanent change. There are other like-minded people out there, and sometimes they can borrow your courage once you step out, and then they'll come with you.
This story was produced with original reporting from Nina B. Alcati for Sentient. I'm Isabelle Charlet, Oregon News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Advocates for homeownership in Oregon have mixed feelings as lawmakers pass a new bill to set a clear goal for homeownership with one hand while defunding programs essential to meeting that goal with the other. Isabelle Charlet tells us more.
Advocates for homeownership in Oregon are celebrating a new bill that sets targets to boost the state's homeownership rate, which currently sits at 64%, just below the national average, but among the lowest in the country. The bill sets a goal of 65% by 2030, with incremental increases every 5 years until 2045. Habitat for Humanity Oregon's Shannon Villhauer says while the state also needs more rental housing, homeownership brings many long-term benefits, including better education outcomes for children.
We just don't want to lose sight of this important wealth building opportunity, stabilizing opportunity for all of our communities. As we prioritize production together, let's keep home ownership in the mix.
On the heels of the victory, Villhauer says she was shocked to hear that the current state budget nearly zeroes out funding for home ownership assistance programs, which does not set the state up well to begin meeting the new goal. She says Habitat will do everything it can to restore the funding. Villhauer adds, for most people living in Oregon and the United States today, home ownership is affordable housing.
If you were fortunate enough to buy your home in Oregon 20 years ago, your mortgage payment today is less than half of market rate rent for a two-bedroom apartment.
Brock Nation is with Oregon Realtors. He says results from a survey last year found about three-quarters of non-homeowners consider home ownership to be one of their highest life priorities.
But those numbers were even higher for communities of color, where we know there's about a 15.3% racial home ownership gap in the state of Oregon right now.
For communities of color, he says about 96% of people put home ownership at the top of their priority list. I'm Isabelle Charlet, Oregon News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
People who study avian flu are challenging the wisdom of the Trump administration's plan to combat the disease and lower egg prices. Suzanne Potter reports.
Avian flu experts are questioning the effectiveness of the Trump administration's plan to lower egg prices. The government has paid farmers more than $1 billion so far to kill their entire flocks if they detect one case of the virus. But UC Davis veterinary professor Maurice Petesky says it isn't working because requirements to improve biosecurity to prevent wild birds from infecting flocks are not sufficiently enforced.
What they're suggesting conceptually makes sense. Practically, it is not a solution. This is beyond any farmer's or state's ability to address. We need every tool that we can use.
The USDA plans to expand a Biden-era pilot program known as Wildlife Biosecurity Assessments to help chicken farms identify ways to keep wild birds from infiltrating the facility. Petesky suggests the feds hire a fleet of wildlife biologists and environmental scientists to monitor the larger ecosystem. Petesky adds that data collection is currently too siloed and says the industry would benefit from tech upgrades to make the information more widely accessible.
You can't really do these biosecurity assessments unless you start developing app-based tools that can be easily filled out and ranked and sorted to understand risk.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins wants to repeal California's Prop 12, which she says has contributed to high egg prices. The law requires egg producers to give their chickens a minimum amount of living space if they want to produce or sell eggs in the Golden State. This story was produced with original reporting from Seth Milstein at Sentient. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Donald Trump's Budget and Policy Act faces pushback from clean energy advocates and small businesses. A federal court weighs the legality of deploying the California National Guard over its governor's objections. And ICE detains a New York mayoral candidate. With those stories and more, it's Farah Siddiqui with 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
These tax incentives were really driving development of manufacturing in the United States, and we see a loss of 840,000 jobs in the next 5 years if this bill is passed.
Analyst Dan O'Brien with Energy Innovation says the One Big Beautiful Budget Act, as it narrowly passed the House, could set back states like Alaska. He says the GOP-backed legislation would repeal clean energy investments and tax credits in the Inflation Reduction Act, which would raise rates, especially for companies and rural consumers. Supporters of energy transition say they had hoped the way the IRA funded projects in conservative districts would protect it in Congress. So far, that hasn't worked out, and lawmakers from fossil fuel states argue the Biden-era law has been bad for their industries. In Indiana, economists say the IRA has been drawing manufacturing to the state, and solar installers in states like Michigan say they're worried. Alan O'Shea with family-owned CBS Solar says they'd probably lose the home installation market, which is 90% of what they do.
The other 10% of our business is commercial, and it would still survive, but the damage would be done. We're talking 25-plus employees here.
A federal court could rule any day on a challenge to President Donald Trump's deployment of the National Guard to Los Angeles against the will of California Governor Gavin Newsom. Department of Justice Attorney Brett Shumate says the protests against immigration raids deserve the response.
So the president has the discretion to decide what level of forces are necessary to counter the threat, necessary to repel the invasion, suppress the rebellion, or execute those laws. And in the president's judgment, 2,000 National Guard are necessary to execute the laws in California, and the record bears that out.
Newsom argues the Guard's presence inflamed the protests and diverted troops from essential state-level duties. The court's decision may set a precedent for how far presidential authority can go when federalizing state forces. In New York City, Democratic mayoral candidate Brad Lander was arrested for confronting ICE agents at an immigration court. In the scuffle, he was recorded asking to see a warrant.
You have a judicial warrant.
Keep going.
You have a judicial warrant.
After initially saying the U.S. would not get involved, Trump is escalating rhetoric about the Israel-Iran air war. Trump is now calling for Iran's unconditional surrender and warning that the U.S. knows where Iran's supreme leader is hiding, but added, "We are not going to take him out for now." Following last weekend's shootings in Minnesota, senators received a private security briefing. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the level of violence and threats have dramatically increased and that more resources are needed. Capitol Police are requesting nearly $1 billion for 2026, up more than a fifth from the current budget. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
Now it's time for Point Puzzle. Pearl Stark announced a winner from the previous week by selecting an answer from emailed submissions. Each week a new puzzle is announced. Pearl Stark has the puzzle.
It's time for the puzzle.
For Father's Day, I asked you to send me a verb that you might use while fly fishing with your dad that is also a noun you might give to him as a gift. Well, the answer was tie. Our winner this week is Ryan Casey, who listens to KBOO in Portland, Oregon.
Sun in the treetops, clouds in the sky, the world's up early and so am I. Fish in the river, fly on the line. In the water in the springtime.
For the new puzzle, start with two words that are often used when defining the summer solstice, in seven letters and five letters. Remove the letters I, N, G, and rearrange the remaining letters to get a part of the body and a piece of clothing or accessory used on that part of body. So again, start with two words often used when describing the summer solstice. Remove the letters I, N, and G, and rearrange the remaining letters to get a part of the body and a piece of clothing or accessory used on that part of the body. When you have an answer, send your name, your answer, and the station on which you hear the puzzle to puzzle@kpov.org. I'll select one winner from among any answers received by this Saturday. This has been Pearl Stark with your Point Puzzle for the week of June 16th. The Point Puzzle is produced at KPOV, High Desert Community Radio.
You are listening to a summer membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our goal is to raise $50,000 by June 29th. We'd like to remind you that you can renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by going online to kboo.fm/give. Stay tuned after this newscast for KBOO's News in Depth. At 6, it's Radio Zine. At 6:30, it's Free Culture Radio. Then at 7, Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be cloudy with a low of 50. Tomorrow, we might have a stray shower. The high will be 94. Today, in 1942, Beatle Paul McCartney was born. The quote of the day is from Sir Paul, who said, or sang, "In the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make."
The Miccosukee tribe is embarking on a campaign to buy and protect lands in the Florida Everglades. With that story and more, it's Brian Bull with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. The Miccosukee tribe is embarking on a campaign to buy and protect lands in the Florida Everglades. The Guardian newspaper reports that the tribe's in a partnership with the Florida Wildlife Corridor Foundation. The goal is to create a safe habitat for threatened species, including black bears, panthers, and key deer. The initiative was spurred by the Trump administration's slashing of federal funds for conservation projects. Talbert Cypress, chair of the Miccosukee, is quoted as saying the tribe has a constitutional duty to conserve their traditional homelands, the lands, and waters which have protected and fed the tribe since time immemorial. The agreement was announced at a summit of corridor stakeholders in Orlando recently after a study by the Native American Fish and Wildlife Society found that 60% of federally recognized tribes have lost grants or other federal funds exceeding $56 million since Donald Trump began his second term in January. And now we continue yesterday's story about the Hopi 19 and Alcatraz Island from KJZZ's Gabriel Piatarazzo.
With a history glamorized for decades on the silver screen, most notably by the 1979 blockbuster Escape from Alcatraz, starring Clint Eastwood, depicting an iconic real-life prison break by inmates Frank Morris and brothers Clarence and John Anglin a year before The Rock closed in 1963.
Get up, Morris. It's moving day. I said get up, Morris. Open up 109. Morris, I said get up.
Jesus Christ.
Again, I think a lot of people look at Alcatraz, they kind of know the stories from the movies when it was a federal prison and then don't really know it's related to indigenous people.
Wendy Holliday is a former archivist for the Hopi Cultural Preservation Office.
When I was doing the research and I lived on the reservation and I was a tribal employee, 100 years after those men were imprisoned at Alcatraz, the story was still so resonant as though it had just happened yesterday.
As much as Alcatraz is about uncommon criminals, it's also associated with boarding schools.
Some of the stories that people would tell me that they had heard kind of passed down was just about the trauma for them and for their family members who were left behind, wondering what happened.
And once she started, Holliday couldn't stop telling that side of the story.
It's not just that they were imprisoned, but they were taken from their ancestral land that was absolutely vital to their spiritual practice and well-being. It was a story that was still very much alive, and I think still today.
Amber Rose Howard is with CURB, Californians United for a Responsible Budget, a coalition of more than 80 groups organizing against prisons across the Golden State.
Of course, Alcatraz is just a non-starter. There's no drinking water, no utilities, no infrastructure. It's hard to tell what's a real threat and what's just fear-mongering. But at this time, I think that we should be taking everything he's saying seriously.
If not Alcatraz, Howard says undocumented people are likely next to be sent somewhere else. Empty prisons that ICE has been eyeing, even in Blythe along the Arizona-California border.
But I don't think it stops there. It starts with folks who are undocumented, and then it will continue to spill over into disappearing people from underserved, marginalized communities who are Black, who are brown, who are indigenous, who don't fit the agenda.
For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Piatarazzo.
And I'm Brian Bull for National Native News in the KLCC studios of Eugene, Oregon.
On Tuesday, a panel of three federal district court judges heard arguments for attorneys for the U.S. Department of Justice and the state of California about whether Donald Trump overstepped his authority when he federalized the California National Guard over the objections of Governor Gavin Newsom. Suzanne Potter has the details.
A case with national implications on the power of the U.S. president to use state National Guard troops to quell protests now rests with a panel of three district court judges after a hearing on Tuesday ended without a decision. Governor Gavin Newsom wants the courts to force President Donald Trump to relinquish control of the California National Guard, which was deployed over Newsom's objections to Los Angeles following unrest over immigration raids. Attorney Brett Shumate, speaking on behalf of the Justice Department, said the court has no power to review the president's decision.
So the president has the discretion to decide what level of forces are necessary to counter the threat, necessary to repel the invasion, suppress the rebellion, or execute those laws. And in the president's judgment, 2,000 National Guard are necessary to execute the laws in California, and the record bears that out.
The governor and L.A. Mayor Karen Bass have argued that local law enforcement had the situation under control. They contend the guard's presence only inflamed tensions and raised the risk of violence. Shumate argued the troops are essential to enforce immigration laws. Representing the state of California, attorney Samuel Harbert told the court the law requires the president to go through the governor and denied that the protests constituted an invasion or rebellion.
It would defy our constitutional traditions of preserving state sovereignty, of providing judicial review for the legality of executive action, of safeguarding our cherished rights to political protest.
Harbert also noted the deployment in Los Angeles draws the California National Guard away from critical work at the state level, including wildfire prevention and drug interdiction. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
The Supreme Court ruled today that Tennessee's law, which prohibited some medical treatments for transgender youths, did not violate equal protection principles. The law prohibits medical providers from prescribing puberty-delaying medication, offering hormone therapy, or performing surgery to treat minors whose experienced gender does not match the one assigned at birth. More than 20 other states have similar laws. Chief Justice Roberts, part of the 6-3 majority, acknowledged the fierce scientific and policy debates about the safety, efficacy, and propriety of medical treatments in an evolving field. But he wrote in the majority opinion that these questions should be resolved by the people, their elected representatives, and the democratic process. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who voted against the majority, wrote that the court decision, quote, authorizes, without second thought, untold harm to transgender children and the parents and families who love them. Because there is no constitutional justification for that result, I dissent, end quote.
A new Economist/YouGov survey shows that 60% of all respondents oppose U.S. involvement in the Israel-Iran war, while just 16% support military action. 24% were unsure. 53% of Trump voters polled oppose U.S. involvement. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Steve Bannon, and Tucker Carlson are among the hardcore Republicans who have warned Trump against joining the fray. Strong public sentiment against war with Iraq was also evidenced in last Saturday's No Kings protests. When Trump was reminded yesterday of National Intelligence Director Tulsi Gabbard's assessment that Iran was not building nuclear weapons, she said, quote, I don't care what is said, end quote. Senator Bernie Sanders said, quote, the United States must not be dragged into another of Netanyahu's wars, not militarily or financially. There could be no offensive use of military force against Iran or any other country without an explicit authorization from Congress, end quote. U.S. Ambassador to Iran Mike Huckabee suggested that Trump use a nuclear bomb in Iran and that he should listen to the voice he will hear from heaven. When asked last night if the U.S. will bomb Iran, Trump said, quote, nobody knows what I am going to do, end quote. He may have also been including himself.
After decades of pollution, a California community secures a $550 million settlement from Chevron. Dr. Anthony Leisowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Leisowitz, and this is Climate Connections. The Chevron refinery in Richmond, California, produces over 200,000 barrels of oil a day. In the process, it contributes to air pollution in nearby areas, where many residents have asthma. And in 2012, a fire at the refinery caused 15,000 people to seek medical care. Christine Cordero is with APEN, the Asian Pacific Environmental Network. For decades, the group has criticized the refinery and advocated for community needs.
Richmond is a working class community, and families there struggle to meet basic needs. We have so many potholes that go unfilled. Our fire departments are actually short-staffed, and our parks and libraries are struggling to stay open while a company like Chevron rakes in billions of profits.
Last year, APEN was part of a polluters pay campaign that pushed for a tax on every barrel of oil produced at the refinery. The campaign prompted Chevron to offer a deal. The company agreed to pay the city $550 million over 10 years, and the tax proposal was dropped. Cordero says the deal does not directly address the health problems caused by fossil fuel pollution, but it does present an opportunity to invest in communities that have been harmed.
And so in that way, it was very much a win.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
KBOO news poet Dan Raphael hopes this poem airs before Trump bombs Iran.
With Putin, Netanyahu, Musk, and who knows what shadowy billionaires pulling Donnie's strings, no wonder he changes directions every other day. Trump's phallic ego parade got bumped from the headlines by murder in Minneapolis, Israel and Iran using their weaponry for a lot more than a parade, and over 5 million people saying, no kings, no ICE, fewer weapons, tax the rich, etc. So what can Donnie do to get the spotlight back? How about taking out Iran's nuclear facility with the biggest conventional bomb in the world, the massive ordnance penetrator? Summer's almost here, but the heat's been surging for a while in Palestine, Ukraine, Sudan. Strawberry season almost over, but raspberries are ripe with more fruit coming. A season for hiking, camping, and swimming is also the season for wildfires and heat prostration. While you know who and the Republicans are still running the government, trying to run it into the ground. Hope we can make it through July without rockets' red glare becoming more than lyrics in a song. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to a summer membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Dan Raphael, Eric Leuschner, Dejon, and Josh Salem. The producer is Hannah Francis, and our engineer is Otto. Special thanks to Brian Bull, Faraz Siddiqui, Isabel Charlet, and Dr. Anthony Leisowitz. The interim evening news director is Hannah Francis. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Eric Leuschner.
And I'm Josh Salem. Earlier in the newscast, we incorrectly attributed a statement to Donald Trump made by his National Intelligence Director. KBOO regrets the error. All of our KBOO programs are made possible by support from our members. KBOO is currently in our summer fundraising drive, and our goal is to raise $50,000 by June 29th. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for news in depth with Street Roots.